Radio On The Go News.
With Radio On The Go News, Brian Fancher reporting. A wind chill advisory is in effect for the Radio On The Go broadcast area from 6 p.m. today until 11 a.m. Wednesday. Expect wind chills to be as low as minus 35. When outdoors, wear appropriate clothing, a hat, and gloves. This morning, the Iowa Department of Transportation is reporting that Interstate 35 and Highway 65, 18, 69, 3, 14, 218, 57, 188, and 20 are all partially covered with snow. For the latest on Iowa road conditions, go to radioonthego.com and look under the weather tab. Yesterday, about 8:35 a.m., the Clear Lake Police Department was called out on the report of a robbery at the Casey store along Highway 18 north of the Surf Ballroom. No injuries reported. Store employees told officers that an unknown male entered the business and demanded money from the clerk. The male then grabbed the cash register and fled on foot from the scene. No weapons were displayed. Investigators believe the person left the Clear Lake area and poses no immediate threat to the community. The incident remains under investigation. The Cerro Gordo County Sheriff's Department and Iowa State Patrol assisted at the scene. State Republican Senator Dennis Guth of Clemmy tells Radio On The Go News he hopes lawmakers will act on what he considers to be important legislation this session.
Focus on preserving some of our liberties. During the COVID-19 pandemic, we've seen a lot of those liberties restricted, and I'd like to make sure that we don't do more of that. I don't believe that most of it helps anything. I am promoting the things that would reinstall our liberties. And again, I am trying to push religious liberty bill that will help make sure that we don't close churches when we have casinos open. We need to make sure that we keep all of that. And we didn't really do that in Iowa, but in other states they did. I just want to make sure that we keep that.
Guth says he supports revamping the state's tax code.
We don't want to just say, well, we have money and we're going to expand programs. That gets us in trouble down the road. And we also don't want to just write out a check to the citizens and refund their money, because that's a one-time shot. And what we want to do is use that for a permanent reduction in taxes. And I think reducing the income tax is something that's very important, especially as we try to compete with other states that have no income tax. And we see retired people in the state of Iowa say, you know, let's move to another state where they don't have income tax. Gives us the opportunity to compete that way in keeping people here in Iowa.
Guth represents Iowa Senate District 4, which includes Wright and Hancock counties in the broadcast area. The head of Iowa's largest agricultural organization urging state lawmakers to reconsider a measure which would mandate the use of renewable fuels in Iowa that are produced in state. Iowa Farm Bureau President Brent Johnson says the Iowa biofuel standard was narrowly defeated in the legislature in 2021.
To implement a biofuel ethanol standard within Iowa is certainly something that we supported last year to make sure that Iowa's fuel sources do contain Iowa-grown products, both on the gasoline side as well as the biodiesel side.
He says the organization has some work to do to rebuild consumer support and to get the legislative backing needed for the mandate to pass. Johnson's also urging the EPA to uphold the Renewable Fuel Standard, RVO, or Renewable Volume Obligation Levels, after reports the Biden administration may drop the proposed blending levels below 15 billion gallons.
That's been eroded over the last few years, so we need to make sure that we hold that together so that our producers understand that that market is there and solid and willing to move forward.
Johnson says the Farm Bureau supports Governor Reynolds' move asking the EPA to provide a waiver to sell E15 year-round in Iowa. Iowa State University Extension and Outreach will be holding what's being called Planter University at 5 locations around the state next month. ISU Extension Field Agronomist Angie Rekins tells Radio On The Go News the programs will run each day from 9 a.m. until 2:30 p.m.
Our workshops are going to be very, what we call, color neutral. So we're not looking at a specific type of planner, like a John Deere versus the Kinsey, but help the people to understand all the parameters and what you see on your monitors when you're working with your planter. High tech, this is high speed. These are conventional planners. These are no-till planners. This is all over the board, and it's designed to make your time in that planter more efficient, and it's designed to give us the best output ever from a crop standpoint in terms of even planting, even emergence, and managing that planter really can help us add bushels in our field.
The closest planter university will be held at the Iowa State University Northeast Research Farm in the Nashua area on February 8th. The registration deadline is February 1st. For more information, contact your local county extension office. Today, the Franklin County Board of Supervisors will consider a memorandum of understanding regarding the Secondary Roads Union Agreement. Now, the business, the board will review a resolution on property tax relief and will discuss fiscal year 2023 budgets. The Franklin County Board of Supervisors meet today at 8:30 this morning at the courthouse in Hampton. Also today, the Hancock County Board of Supervisors will consider the county's secondary road right-of-way acquisition policy for 2022 and will discuss payment for trapping of beavers in county drainage districts. The Hancock County Board of Supervisors meet today, 9 a.m., at the courthouse in Garner. The Floyd County Board of Supervisors today will review a tentative agreement between the county and Teamsters Local 238, and will discuss projects with the county conservation director. The Floyd County Board of Supervisors meet today at 9 a.m. at the courthouse in Charles City. Today, the Allison City Council will hold a public hearing on an ordinance regarding special permits issued by the city and fees associated with them. The council will then hold the first reading of said ordinance. In other business, the Allison City Council will consider approval of pay estimate number 2 to Heartland Asphalt for the 2021 street project and will discuss fiscal year 2023 budgets. The Allison City Council meets today 5:45 p.m. at the council chambers. The Rudd-Rockford-Marbrock School Board last week approved a request by the School Budget Review Committee for funding regarding fiscal year 2022 enrollment in the amount of $25,294.50. In other business, the RRMR School Board discussed the next steps for the Rudd Bus Barn. The barn was damaged after a tornado went through Rudd on December 15, 2021. The board last week also approved to end the maintenance director sharing agreement with Nashua Plainfield, effective June 30th, 2022. The Hampton, Dumont, and Cal school boards will hold a joint meeting today that will include discussion of shared positions for the 22-23 school year. The Hampton, Dumont, and Cal school boards joint meeting today beginning at 5:30 p.m. at Southside Elementary in Hampton. Saturday, the Franklin County Coaches versus Cancer event was held as Hampton, Dumont, Cal took on West Fork in basketball in Sheffield. Funds were raised through suppers, a bucket run, silent auction, sponsorships, and T-shirt sales. More money is expected to come in, but so far $8,066.03 has been raised. And today's guest on the Radio On The Go Newsmaker program, family nurse practitioner Mary O'Connor, who will discuss the signs and symptoms of frostbite and hypothermia and on ways to treat them. The Radio On The Go Newsmaker program airs weekdays during the noon hour on KLMJ, with archive programs available under the News tab at RadioOnTheGo.com. The high in the past 24 hours here at our studios, 27, and the low of 2 degrees below zero. For Radio On The Go News, Brian Fancher reporting.